Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, August 17th, 2026. From the front page of the paper, severe weather. Rain bogs down storm recovery. Saturday flooding in BN complicates cleanup efforts. By Matus Janik, Bloomington. Saturday morning's heavy rain complicated recovery efforts across Bloomington Normal and McLean County, adding flooded roads, sewer backups, and basement problems to a community still dealing with fallen trees, damaged buildings, and lingering power outages from Thursday's severe storm. At the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market, Philip Merrill, 21, said his entire backyard flooded Saturday morning, leaving his sump pump with nowhere to discharge water. "It's definitely been crazy," Merrill said. "My whole backyard, where I live in North Normal, was flooded out." Merrill said he had already helped clean up 4 to 5 homes after the storm. At his own property, fallen limbs also split a fence in half. The National Weather Service in Lincoln reported at 8:47 a.m. that substantial flash flooding was occurring along the Interstate 74 corridor between Bloomington Normal and Champaign. Rainfall rates exceeded 1 inch per hour until 10 a.m., then subsided, with additional rainfall forecast late Saturday night and Sunday. McLean County Emergency Management Agency Director Kathy Beck said officials were aware of a couple of rescues involving motorists who drove into floodwater and became stranded. "We say, turn around, don't drown," said Beck, who added that the flooding was not confined to Bloomington Normal. "It was over the entire county," she said. Most roadway flooding was receding by the time Beck spoke Saturday, but officials planned to inspect infrastructure to determine whether rushing water had eroded material beneath roads and created the potential for holes or pavement failures. High water was also being monitored along Interstate 55 between Shirley and McLean, Beck said. EMA continued collecting reports of damage from both Thursday's storm and Saturday's flooding. Beck said reports included trees striking homes, sump pumps being overwhelmed, and damage to drywall and personal belongings. She encouraged businesses as well as residents to document damage, which could help local officials demonstrate a need for outside assistance. Saturday's rain also temporarily complicated utility restoration work. "All that rain coming down, they couldn't have worked in that," Beck said. "It's just not safe. I mean, electricity plus water." Flooding interrupts Normal cleanup. In Normal, flooding was reported for periods overnight near Sugar Creek, the intersection of Virginia Avenue and University Street, and the Main Street underpass, said Kathy Olufsen, Normal's Director of Communication and Community Relations. No roads were closed because of flooding by the time the town responded Saturday. However, closures remained on Adelaide, Fell, Maple, and Beach because of trees and power lines brought down during Thursday's storm. The new rainfall briefly pulled municipal workers away from debris collection. Crews concentrated on flooding problems during the early morning before most shifted back to brush cleanup around 10 a.m., Olufsen said. The town was aware of scattered sewer backups, while saturated areas and detention basins holding storm water were expected to drain during the next 48 to 72 hours. All available crews were working Saturday. Sewer employees were monitoring pump stations and concentrating on flooding, storm sewers, and blocked drain inlets, while other crews continued storm cleanup. Regular trash and recycling collection was expected to continue, but bulky item and landscape waste collection was temporarily suspended so employees could concentrate on collecting storm-damaged trees and brush. With more storms in the forecast, the town urged residents to treat every down power line as live and to avoid driving, walking, or biking through standing water. The city of Bloomington did not respond over the weekend to requests for information about flooding, road closures, and storm cleanup operations. Generator exhaust creates additional danger. Normal firefighters had recorded 55 calls for service by the department's 8 a.m. shift change Saturday, following what department spokesperson Mike Sweeney described over email as a record 108 calls during the 24 hours surrounding the initial storm. Many of the latest calls involve carbon monoxide concerns caused by generators being operated too close to homes, Sweeney said. Other calls involved alarm activations, odor investigation, smoke scares, and electrical problems associated with power being restored. The department's Prevention Bureau drove through neighborhoods without electricity and spoke with residents who had improperly positioned generators in an effort to prevent accidental carbon monoxide incidents. Sweeney said he was not aware of any water rescues or other notable flooding calls handled by the normal fire department. He urged residents to keep generators at least 20 feet from a house and away from doors and windows. Generators should never be operated in a garage, and residents should check that their carbon monoxide alarms are working. Generator exhaust and carbon monoxide in it can reach lethal levels in minutes, Sweeney said. The Bloomington Fire Department did not respond over the weekend to calls about weather-related questions about weather-related calls, rescues, and generator or electrical incidents. College campuses continue cleanup. The effects of the storms also remained visible across Bloomington Normal's college campuses. At Illinois Wesleyan University, faculty and staff members gathered on the quad at noon Saturday to help grounds and maintenance crews clear storm debris. Ann Aubrey, Director of Marketing Communication at Illinois Wesleyan, said in an email that numerous trees had fallen and flooding affected a couple of campus spaces, although the university had not identified any major damage. Ken Frost, physical plant director for the university, said some employees had been dealing with flooding in campus buildings since about 2 a.m. Saturday, after crews had already spent much of the period since Thursday's storm clearing trees and other debris. Frost estimated about 15 trees had fallen across the campus. A catalpa tree, believed to be more than 100 years old, remained on top of the baseball field entrance building, he said. The university's physical plant department has about 68 employees, but workers from several departments were taking on jobs outside their normal assignments as the campus prepared for more students and families to arrive next week. "I've got electricians shoveling," Frost said. He said the university was concentrating on the quad, while outside tree crews addressed larger trees and limbs, including some that had fallen on or near power lines. "We're just trying to always put our best foot forward," Frost said, of preparing for student move-in. Cassandra Brooks Watson, a physical plant project coordinator who has worked at Illinois Wesleyan for 14 years, said she no longer normally performs much outdoor work, but joined the cleanup when her department asked for help. "Of course I came out to help my team," Brooks Watson said. She said seeing faculty and staff members join the physical plant employees demonstrated their shared investment in the university. "It is good to see that everybody cares about the campus," Brooks Watson said. "We all care about the campus the same way. So we needed the help. They came out." Illinois State University had received more than 70 reports of facility impacts from Thursday's storm as of Friday afternoon, according to information provided by Chris Coplin, Director of Media Relations and Strategic Communications, in an email. Damage assessment teams examined 93 buildings. Several buildings near the quad took on water, particularly in basements, while others developed roof leaks. 5 windows at Watterson Towers were blown out and boarded. Most campus power was restored Thursday evening, although some smaller buildings surrounding or outside the main campus remained without power Friday. Remediation crews continued extracting water, drying spaces, and cleaning ahead of Monday, when fall semester classes are scheduled to begin. Fans and dehumidifiers could remain in operation as classes begin, while employees monitor moisture levels, Copland said. Heartland Community College had not identified any structural damage from Thursday's storm as of Friday, according to Steve Fast, assistant to the president and public information. Heartland was monitoring possible flooding along the Country Financial Trail after Saturday's rain, although Fast had not yet received a full update from facilities employees. Residents describe outages and neighborly response. For some residents, the weak storms meant lengthy power outages, in addition to fallen trees and flooding. Drake Parker of Bloomington said his electricity was out from Thursday until late afternoon Friday. Although his property sustained only minor limb damage, he said the rest of his street was pretty well beaten to smithereens. Parker said the storm produced the most extensive damage he personally remembered seeing in Bloomington, but he also saw residents helping one another. "The community really seemed to come together. I saw a lot of people helping each other out," Parker said. "That's a good thing. That's a great thing." Effie Peach, 27, said she spent about 30 hours without electricity and also encountered difficulty finding gasoline. "A friend in Normal was still without power Saturday and expected to discard food from a refrigerator," she said. Despite these difficulties, Peach said she was moved by the response she saw while traveling around Bloomington Normal. "I was driving around crying because it's just nice to see people actually like communicating with their neighbor and actually being neighborly," Peach said. "I feel like good things can come from bad things like this." Beck urged residents to continue monitoring forecasts and warnings as another round of weather approached. "Be weather aware. Get a weather radio," she said. "That's the best way to get information." Beck asked residents to send reports and photos of structural damage to the EMA at ema@mcleancountyil.org. This story included several photos, including much of the tree damage around Illinois Wesleyan University and a downed street sign lying on the corner of Western Avenue and Taylor Street on Saturday in Bloomington, with photos by Clay Jackson. Also from the front page of today's paper, Town of Normal, council to weigh drive-through coffee biz. Seven Brew looks to develop College Avenue location. By Matus Janik, Normal. A drive-through coffee shop could be coming to the corner of College Avenue and Veterans Parkway under a site plan the Normal Town Council will consider Monday. According to the council's agenda, the amended site plan is for a Seven Brew coffee business at 1700 East College Avenue in the southwest corner of the shopping center parking lot. The property's main building, originally developed as a Kmart, is now occupied by Petco, Boot Barn, Daiso, and Office Depot. The town approved another site plan amendment in 2019 for the Five Guys and Cold Stone Creamery building, located on the west side of the parking lot. Founded in Northwest Arkansas in 2017, Seven Brew has expanded from 38 stands in January 2023 to more than 700 across 38 states, according to the company's website. The drive-through chain said it serves more than 1 million drinks a day, offering coffee, energy drinks, sodas, teas, lemonades, smoothies, and shakes. The proposed Seven Brew building would be about 910 square feet, according to the council's agenda. It would have no public entrance for walk-in customers, and employees would take orders from people waiting in the drive-through lanes rather than using menu boards. A canopy would cover the pickup area on the west side of the building, but the proposal would require variances involving parking, signage, and green space. The shopping center currently has approval for 395 parking spaces, and the new development would leave 374 spaces across the overall site. The project would remove and reconfigure some parking while creating 17 spaces within the coffee shop area, including spaces associated with the drive-thru. The existing shopping center already does not meet current requirements calling for green space to cover 20% of the site and interior parking lot landscaping to cover 7%, according to council documents. The developer proposes moving the western curb of the parking lot 10 feet east to create a wider parking area along Veterans Parkway. Plans call for shade trees, ornamental trees, shrubs, flowers, and grasses around the development, parking islands, and dumpster enclosure. Town staff said that more than half the proposed plants would be native species. The project would also add 96 square feet of wall signage to the shopping center, with signs on all four sides of the new building. The developer plans to repaint the faded freestanding sign at the southwest corner of the property. According to the council's agenda, town staff said the development would put an underused portion of the parking lot to more productive use while adding landscaping along one of Normal's major commercial corridors. Staff also characterized the proposal as infill development that would use existing infrastructure rather than adding more pavement on an undeveloped site. The Planning Commission voted 7-0 to recommend approval. No members of the public testified against or in support of the proposal at the Planning Commission hearing. The council meets at 7 p.m. today on the fourth floor of Uptown Station. Council meetings are also live streamed on the town's YouTube channel. Turning to page 2 of the Monday, August 17th edition of the Pantograph. Today's Flick Fact. Today's question. Street names in a town can be changed over the years. In Normal, for example, can you name what Suddeth, S-U-D-D-U-T-H Road, South Street, Elm Street, Sill Street, and Ames Street are today? Today's answer. Suddeth Road is today College Avenue. South Street is now Florence Avenue. Elm Street is Fell Avenue. Sill Street is Virginia Avenue. And Ames Street is Archie Avenue. How time flies. 100 years ago, August 17, 1926, the death of Stephen R. Powell, better known as Toby Powell, marks the passing of the final livery barn in Bloomington. He devoted the past few years to the rental of saddle horses. It probably has been many years since it was possible to rent a buggy or other horse-propelled vehicle. 75 years ago, August 17, 1951, entries close next week for the first Championship Point Dog Show of Corn Belt Kennel Club, set for O'Neill Pavilion on Labor Day, September 3rd, according to Robert H. Craig, show chairman. Competition is open to puppies, novice dogs, American bred, bred by exhibitor dogs, and open class. 50 years ago, August 17, 1976, the new Normal City Hall again will fly an American flag, which had flown over the nation's capital. Mayor Richard Godfrey said U.S. Representative Edward Madigan had given the town a second flag to replace one stolen on the night of June 5th, after the City Hall was dedicated. Godfrey said his offer still stands to pay for the return of the original flag and a bicentennial flag if they are mailed to him. 25 years ago, August 17th, 2001, as the sun rose, the streets were clear except for light rain and workday traffic. It wouldn't last long. Some streets, like Fell Avenue near Washington or Watterson Towers, already were blocked off for move-in day at Illinois State University. As the hours ticked away, teamwork and community support kept things running smoothly. On page 3 of today's paper, normal. Town may restrict drop-off hours at yard waste site. By Matus Janik, normal. Normal residents could lose around-the-clock access to the town's landscape waste drop-off site later this year, as officials seek to prevent illegal dumping and contamination. The town council will consider a $65,000 fencing contract Monday for the site at 1301 Warriner Street. The contract would cover new fencing and gates, but according to the council agenda, Public Works also plans to replace the site's understaffed 24-hour operation with controlled access, load inspections, and limited hours. The town has operated the site for several decades, and residents were able to bring landscape waste there anytime, 7 days a week. Material delivered to the site, along with landscape waste collected at the curb, is transported to the Illinois State University farm in Lexington and converted into compost. According to the council agenda, contamination at the site has increased significantly in recent years. Although the facility is intended for normal residents and for ISU and McLean County Unit 5 through separate agreements, its understaffed operation has allowed contractors and people who do not live in Normal to use it. Public Works employees spend an estimated 8 to 12 hours per week during peak season removing illegally dumped material. Even with that cleanup, some contaminants reach the ISU composting operation and create additional work at the farm. Materials found at the site have included household garbage, motor oil, fuel, paint, pesticides, plastic bags, concrete, brick, and metal. Staff also cited the dumping of large quantities of brush and tree limbs. The proposed contract with Huhulin Fence Company of Goodfield would install about 550 feet of 8-foot galvanized chain-link fencing topped with barbed wire. The project would include one 30-foot double-swing gate and two 24-foot double-swing gates. Once the fence is installed, staff propose limiting access to Normal residents and inspecting incoming loads for prohibited materials. The site would be open during regular business hours, with longer hours offered on selected days. Saturday access would be available during peak seasons. Staff members would also use inspections to explain proper disposal practices when they find prohibited material in a load. Public Works and the town's communication department would conduct an outreach campaign before the new system takes effect. It would include updated hours, traffic flow maps, and information about acceptable and unacceptable materials. The full implementation is expected in late 2026. The council meets at 7 p.m. tonight on the fourth floor of Uptown Station. Also on page 3, Town Government, Normal to I Zoning Changes for Signage by Matus Janik, Normal. New and substantially altered digital signs in Normal would need automatic dimming, while customers and students would be explicitly barred from visiting home-based businesses under zoning changes being considered by the Town Council at Monday's meeting. That's tonight. According to the Council agenda, some of the changes are clarifications of existing practice, while others would make more substantive changes involving commercial storage, parking, and digital signs. The proposed home occupation language says no customers, clients, patients, students, vendors, or other business visitors may come to a residence in connection with a home-based business. Sales, services, consultations, lessons, and appointments would have to take place elsewhere or be conducted by phone, mail, or electronic communication. Ordinary residential deliveries would remain permitted. The town characterizes the amendment as a clarification that home occupations may not include customers coming to the property, according to the council agenda. Another change addresses complaints about the brightness of digital signs. Normal's current code requires an animated sign to display a static image for at least 4 seconds before changing, and prohibits flashing or other movement. It does not set a brightness level. The town is researching industry standards and regulations in nearby communities, a process expected to take several more weeks. In the meantime, the proposed new ordinance would require new, replaced, reconstructed, converted, or substantially altered electronic signs to have photocells, ambient light sensors, or similar automatic dimming technology. The ordinance would not establish a numerical brightness limit, but it would require affected signs to be capable of meeting brightness, operating hour, and malfunction standards that the town may adopt later. The zoning package would also add a reference to Illinois' People Over Parking Act, which took effect June 1st. The law prevents the town from requiring minimum numbers of vehicle parking spaces for many developments near qualifying transit hubs and high-frequency transit corridors. Current qualifying locations include areas around Uptown Station, Walmart, the shops at College Hills, and Connect Transit headquarters, along with portions of Main Street. Because bus routes and schedules can change, the boundaries are not permanent. Another amendment would allow buildings of up to 25,000 square feet in general business districts, B1, to be used entirely for storing goods, supplies, furniture, or equipment. Current rules allow self-storage businesses, but not standalone storage supporting a business elsewhere. Other changes address exterior battery storage systems, cemetery water requirements, building height definitions, and landscaping standards. The Planning Commission voted 7-0 to recommend approval. No members of the public testified against or in support of these proposals at the commission hearing. And again, the council meets at 7 p.m. tonight on the fourth floor of Uptown Station. Turning to page 17, nutrition, 8 canned foods to stock up on for quick meals, pantry picks. When temperatures rise, the last thing you want to do is heat up your kitchen by turning on the oven. If you're armed with a well-stocked pantry and summer's abundant seasonal produce, though, you might just get away with keeping the oven off until after Labor Day. These items can be the cornerstone for much of your summer cooking. They include tuna, cans of tuna, to make sandwiches or salads, anchovies, chili peppers. Eating spicy foods in the summer may seem counterintuitive, but doing so can actually trick your brain into cooling you down by causing you to sweat. Stocking up on cans of diced green chilies, chipotle, or hatch chilies will make it easy to add more heat to your summer dishes. Chickpeas. Chickpeas are perfect for adding to cucumbers, feta, tomato, and olives for a bit more protein in your Greek salad. Corn. Yes, fresh corn is in peak season during the summer, but canned kernels can work great in corn salads. Black beans. Black beans make an ideal side or plant-based protein in Mexican-inspired and Tex-Mex dishes. Stir some up with canned chilies, then use them to top rice and sautéed veggies for an easy burrito bowl. Canned beans are also key for making black bean burger patties, perfect for grilling or topping with slices of fresh summer tomatoes. Coconut milk. Keeping a few cans on hand means you can easily add a tropical vibe to fruit smoothies or whipped lemonade. And olives. A charcuterie or snack board will save you on summer nights when you're looking to keep dinner light, not to mention make an ideal meal on your patio or picnic table. Keep jars or cans of olives on hand, and you'll have a great accompaniment for cheeses, cured meats, and summer fruits like peaches or plums. This information was from eatingwell.com. We'll take a short break now and return with the second hour of the Pantograph from Monday, August 17th, 2026. Please stay tuned.